We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
I come to you again with a request that you ask your preacher for information pertaining to certain things. Preachers have existed in many ages of the past. Even Noah, who proclaimed the doom of the disobedient in his day, is called in the New Testament a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5. The words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 1:1 are said to be the words of the preacher. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee, Jonah 3:2. The preachers of that day were limited by the authority of God to the preaching of divine revelation. They were not allowed to preach their opinions and theories. In Isaiah 8:20 we read, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The standard by which one's preaching was to be judged was the law and the testimony. If preachers did not preach according to that, they were preachers of darkness. There was no light in them. Now, friends, this same principle is true in the New Testament dispensation. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. This limits preachers today to the things contained in divine revelation, that is, the oracles of God. But since so many things are preached and practiced in religion that are not mentioned in the oracles of God, it then becomes necessary to ask your preacher for the scriptures that contain his preaching and practice. Therefore, I appeal to you to ask your preacher concerning the things which I shall now present. But before I do that, I might suggest this. The Bible tells us that we are to be ready to give an answer. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctifying your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. But this question, ask your preacher, where does the Bible say that babies were ever baptized? Has your preacher been preaching this? Now, if he doesn't teach, believe, or practice infant baptism, there is probably no need to question him about it. But some preachers do teach infant baptism. And they do claim to baptize babies. It is to people who have preachers like this that these comments are especially directed. If your preacher teaches infant baptism, go to your preacher and ask him for the verse that states babies were baptized in the days of the apostles. Of course, if it is there, he will know where it is and should be happy to give it to you in a moment's notice. If the Bible says babies were ever baptized, all preachers should be baptized in babies. But a preacher should have Bible authority before he starts to practice. So ask your preacher where it is. Now, your preacher may refer you to the cases of Lydia and the jailer recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 16. He might tell you that their households were baptized, and he might say that that includes infants. But if he does, just ask him if households always included infants. In other words, ask him if it is possible for a household to exist without having infants or babies in it. I am sure that you know of several households that have no infants in them. Try and see if you can think of some, and I'm sure you can. Don't you know of some households in which the children are all grown? And do you not recall some that have no children at all in them? I am sure that you know of such cases. Then to baptize a household would not be proof of infant baptism. But let us look at Lydia's household and the jailer's household, since they're sometimes misapplied in an effort to prove infant baptism. Lydia's household was made up of women who were associated with her, Acts 16 and 13. If she had been married, it would have been her husband's household. Acts 16:34 tells us that the jailer believed in God with all his house. So all the members of his household were old enough to believe. This is proof that there were no infants there. So tell your preacher he will have to give you a text that says babies were baptized. If he has been teaching you to baptize your babies, you certainly have a right to ask him to give you Bible authority for it. So insist that he find it for you. Acts 8:12 states that both men and women were baptized. But not a word is said about their babies being baptized. In Acts 8:37, Philip told the eunuch that one must believe before he could be baptized. infants are unable to believe the gospel. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his apostles, that's recorded in Matthew 28:19, he said to them, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." Now this shows that people must be taught the gospel before they can be baptized. But infants are not subjects of gospel teaching. You cannot teach them. They're incapable of learning. Your preacher may tell you that since it says to baptize nations, that infants are a part of nations and should therefore be baptized. Well, if he does tell you that, just ask him if infidels are not a part of nations too. Ask him if he thinks this authorizes the baptism of infidels. It's very easy to find where men and women, believers, were baptized. But the question is, where does the Bible say that babies were ever baptized by inspired man? I'm urging you to ask your preacher about it. But another question. Ask your preacher, where does the Bible say babies are born in sin? The majority of religious bodies teach this, and it is very likely that your preacher does the same thing. Perhaps you did not even know that. But go and ask him if he believes that babies are born in sin. And if he uses such expression as that they have the Adamic sin, well, then that's exactly what he will mean. He will claim that they are born sinners because of Adam's sin. But that isn't so. Because sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. But a baby has transgressed no law. Therefore, a baby is not guilty of sin. So go and ask your preacher if he believes that babies are born in sin. And if he does, then ask him where the Bible says so. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, if men must become as little children to enter the kingdom, that doesn't sound like little children are sinners, does it? Jesus further said in Mark 10:14, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now, since the kingdom of God is made up of grown people, adults who are of such as little children in attitude, it becomes evident that little children are not born in sin. Now, this being true, why would a preacher want to preach something different from the Bible? So go to him this very day and discuss the matter with him. Now, all preachers should be vitally interested in preaching the truth. They certainly should not want to preach anything but the truth. But now, in regard to sinners, babies being born sinners, every passage that anybody ever comes up with to try to prove this is a misapplication of the truth. For example, those who teach that babies are born in sin many times misapply Psalm 51:5, where David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Well, now, if a person were to say, suppose a man were to be describing what his father did to him when he was little. Suppose he said, "In drunkenness did my father beat me." Well, who would be drunk, the father or the child? Well, of course, the father would be the one that would be drunk. And in this passage, when he said, "And in sin did my mother conceive me," it was his mother who was in sin, not David. For David was born as pure as an angel in heaven, as are all children. Remember again that Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." But there's another passage that's misapplied by those who teach total depravity. That's Psalm 53:3. "Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, this passage does not say that they're born depraved. It says every one of them is gone back. Now, what someone would need to find to prove depravity is to find where people were born depraved. But this doesn't say that. They went back. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. Now, to prove depravity, a preacher would have to find where they're born filthy, but the Bible does not teach that. It is said they are altogether become filthy. That implies there was a time when they were not filthy. And of course, as babies, they were pure. They were not filthy. But they became filthy when they became accountable and when they sinned. And then he said, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Well, that was present tense at that particular time. there was none that was doing good of the people that he was describing. But that doesn't mean they were born depraved. That doesn't mean they were born bad. All of that is merely assumed by those who teach depravity, and therefore from that reason that babies should be baptized. But another passage that is misapplied is in Psalm 58 and 3, which says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies." Well, now, friends, in the first place, notice it says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray. It doesn't say they were born astray. That's what the people who teach depravity would have to find to prove their point. They cannot find such passages. This passage says they go astray. And how do they go astray? Well, I mentioned earlier in 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So they go astray. They're not born astray. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Well, if somebody says, well, as soon as they were born, they were depraved. Well, this is a comparative expression of how young they begin to be evil, but it was not the very moment they opened their eyes, because a baby can't speak at that time. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. So they were old enough to be accountable people. There's not a single passage in the Bible anywhere, in the Old or New Testament, that ever even began to commence to teach that a baby is born in sin. A baby is born as pure as the angels in heaven, according to Jesus in Mark 10:14 and Matthew 18 and in verse 3. But then this question, ask your preacher, where does the Bible say that anyone was ever baptized by sprinkling or pouring? Many preachers have been preaching and practicing such for a long time. Have you ever seen your preacher pour a little water or sprinkle a few drops of water on the head of a person and call it baptism? Have you heard him say while doing this, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost"? Well, certainly many of you have heard and seen such things, but that doesn't mean that he was baptizing by the authority and interrelationship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Christ, nor the Father, nor the Holy Spirit ever endorsed us. So have you gone to your preacher and asked him where the Bible says such practice was ever followed by inspired men? You are requested today to ask your preacher for the text in the Bible that gives such information. If your preacher has been baptizing people by sprinkling or pouring, he will know exactly where such authority can be found in the Bible. That is, if it is in the Bible at all. And of course it is not. Well, surely he will not object to your asking about it. He certainly is your preacher, isn't he? And you are helping to pay him in order for him to serve you in this way. So don't hesitate about it. If you're paying him to teach you, you have the right to ask this of him, whether he approves or not. Now, your preacher may refer you to Isaiah 52:5, which says, "So shall ye sprinkle many nations." He may also tell you that this is prophecy of baptism by sprinkling. If he does, call his attention to the fact that in the marginal reading of the American Revised Version, it says, "So shall he startle many nations." Thus the word from which the sprinkle comes is the word that can be translated startle. The remainder of the verse shows that this is true, for it says, "The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which hath not been told them shall they see. That which they had not heard shall they consider." In other words, it would startle the kings to hear what they heard about him. But what could there be in sprinkling a few drops of water on a person's head that would cause kings to be startled or to shut their mouths in astonishment? Well, of course, there would not be. You may also be told by your preacher to turn to Ezekiel 36:25, which says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you." Ask him if he is sure that this refers to baptism. Direct him to the contents of the entire verse. It reads as follows, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Ask him if he is willing to say that baptism will cleanse a man from all his filthiness and from all his idolatry. If he is unwilling to say this, he cannot hold on to this passage for baptism. We would like to tell you that you have to be cleansed from all your filthiness and idolatry before you can be baptized. So according to his own contention, this passage cannot refer to baptism. Quietly and feebly putting forth an effort to find where anyone was ever baptized for sprinkling or for, and you might mention to him the statement of Paul in Romans 6:4. Paul said, therefore we are buried with him of baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Quietly is meditating on the words buried and raised as they're used here in connection with baptism. You might turn to Colossians 2:12 for this statement, buried with him in baptism. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And so you see from this, in both of these passages, Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2:12, men are buried and raised in baptism. So ask your preacher why the Bible specifies a burial and a resurrection. Your sprinkling or pouring would do just as well. If he tells you that any one of the three, sprinkling, pouring, or a burial, will be all right, then ask him why the Bible says in Ephesians 4:5 that there is one baptism. If sprinkling, pouring, and immersion are all scriptural forms of baptism, then we would have three baptisms. But the Bible says there is one baptism. And since there is only one baptism, ask your preacher which is the right one. Is it the one baptism by burial and resurrection as stated in the Bible? Again, Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2:12. Or is it by sprinkling or pouring, which are never mentioned in the Bible as baptism? So insist that your preacher tell you. Also ask him where the Bible says that unmixed water was ever sprinkled on any person in any age of the world for any purpose. Now, if there is such a text, he will surely know where to find it. So ask him for it. Clean water was made from several ingredients that they used in their ceremonial cleaning and cleansing of the Old Testament. But then ask your preacher where the Bible says that baptism is non-essential. Now, you have heard your preacher say this, have you not? Do you recall that he has often preached that baptism is non-essential? He claims that you can be saved as well without it as with it. I'm sure that many of you have heard your preacher say these very things. And if you have, you have every right to go to him and ask him where the Bible makes such an assertion. If a statement like that can be found in the Bible, he will know immediately where to find it. And he should be glad to have you question him about it. While you're waiting for him to show you the requested passage, you might mention to him that Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Ask him, why did Jesus make both belief and baptism necessary to salvation if baptism is non-essential? Ask your preacher, why do you always put salvation before baptism when Jesus puts it after baptism? You can see that both of these ideas are not correct, for they conflict with each other. Either Jesus was wrong when he placed salvation after baptism, or your preacher is wrong when he places it before baptism. Now ask your preacher which is right. Of course, I know that Christ is right. He that believeth and is baptized, and then salvation follows, shall be saved. If your preacher claims you're saved before baptism, he's teaching a new error. It would be well for your preacher to read Peter's statement in Acts 2:38. In response to those sinners who wanted to know what to do to be saved, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice carefully the purpose of baptism as revealed in the Bible. Baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Ask your preacher, why do you say a man must already have the remission of sins before he is baptized, when the Bible says to be baptized for, in order to obtain, the remission of sins? I'm sure that you can see that baptism is most essential, since it is for the remission of sins, in order to obtain the remission of sins. If your preacher does not agree, he is the one that is wrong. Also ask your preacher, is it essential for a person to be in Christ? Can one be saved out of Christ? Now, salvation is in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now then, is it essential to be in Christ? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And all of the promises of God are in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, for how so many ever so be the promises of God. In him is the yea, wherefore also through him is the amen, unto the glory of God through us. Now the spiritual blessings, all of them are in Christ. All of the promises of God are in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. And so it is essential for one to be in Christ. One cannot be saved out of Christ. Now then, if he cannot, then it is essential for a man to get into Christ. Well, this question is a very appropriate one. How do people get in to Christ? Well, in Galatians 3:26-27, Paul says in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. What puts a person into Christ? We are baptized into Christ. If a man can be saved without baptism, he can be saved without getting into Christ. But of course, the Bible does not teach this. So ask your preacher where the Bible says a man can get into Christ before and without baptism. I mentioned Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The previous verse says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now notice, this does not say you're children of God the moment you believe, but it says you're all the children of God by faith, where? In Christ. Not outside of Christ, but in Christ. For as many of you, now this limited number, who are just those who have been baptized, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice, he did not say you're all children of God the moment you believe, by faith only. He did not say you're children of God without any further action of obedience, by faith and without any further action of obedience. He did not say you're children of God by faith out of Christ. He said you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Friends, the only way that you can get into Christ is by being baptized into Christ. You do not get into Christ by faith, repentance, or confession. They're all necessary. But the one and final and only act that can put you into Christ is baptism. Listen to it again, Galatians 3:27. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Ask your preacher why he doesn't teach it like Paul did. Why he says baptism is non-essential when Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I hope that you will obey the gospel. If we may assist you, be sure to contact us.